Yes, you're the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Let's try that last verse. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, just reach out. Bless his name tonight. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are my. Yes, you're the truth. Church, you believe he's here?
Amen.
Oh, he is here. Hallelujah. Yes, he is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. This is 372 in your handbook. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me, he tries to make me doubt. I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. Why don't you take somebody by the hand and greet him this evening? With music, with all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. Oh, they are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, they are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed
in the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Amen, that they're gone. Yes. Praise the Lord. I got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. Brother David and Sister Sherry flying home this evening. Want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Also, Brother Buckles called and said he's not feeling well, so want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Christy and Sister Julie's Grandma Betty's in the hospital with congestive heart failure, so we want to remember her in prayer. And then Sister Mary Beth asked that we please pray for a former co-worker, Kathy Reed, who has cancer and has been placed in hospice care. So we certainly want to remember that as well. And then Brother Morse had texted me yesterday and said he got word that Sister Fulcher passed away. So we want to remember the Fulcher and the Coffee families during this time. And just lift them up before the Lord in prayer for strength during this time of her passing. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Luke, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer? Good to see Brother Trevor and his family back, and Brother Layton and Sister Layton back, and all of you that was out sick, different ones, Sister Lori and different ones that was out sick or out traveling. Good to see everybody back on a Wednesday nights. Amen. God bless you.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you once again, Lord, with needs, Father, Lord, as, Lord, you know the needs of your people, Lord. You saw the hands, Lord, the prayer requests, Lord, for the traveling back, Lord, and, Lord, Grandma Betty, Lord, the congestive heart failure, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, you know each and every one, Lord. I don't know them, Lord, but we know that you're more than able, Father, Lord, and just pray, Father, that you just go to them now, Lord, and just may you just touch their bodies, Lord, and heal it, Lord, the only way that you know how, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you meet with us tonight, Father, as we've come out, Lord, not to be seen by one another, but it's good, Lord, to see one another, but we've come to worship you, Father, Lord. Lord, we come to draw closer to you this evening, Father. We want to just fall more in love with you, Lord, tonight, Lord Jesus. May we just go out different from this service, Lord. Just pray that you be with Brother Nathan, whatever he has on his heart, Lord, just ask that you use him, Lord Jesus. We love you and ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time.
My Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah, he's the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King.
Oh,
so glad your mercy has followed me. I'm so glad you found me and you set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Amen. Let's stand this evening.
I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, just bless His holy name. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all for that is within me, just bless His holy name. For He has done great things. Oh, my Lord, He has done great things. For He hath done great things. Oh, bless His holy name. I will bless the Lord. For I know Him, He's done great things. Oh, I know Him, He's done great things. Oh, I know He has done great things. Oh, bless His holy name. Oh, His holy name. Oh, I will bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy. Oh, let the whole church bless the Lord. Oh, can you think back to the things He's done in your life for you? Oh, I know He's done great things. All through my life I can look back and see He's done some great things. Oh, I know He's done great things. Oh, bless His holy. His holy.
I don't think you'll have to look back too far in your memory to find a time when he's done some great things in your life. Amen. I know I don't have to look back far at all just to look around and see he's done some wonderful, wonderful things in my life. Amen. I told a brother the other day, he's so much better to me than I deserve, but I'm thankful for how good that he is to me. Amen. I'm thankful for my blessings. Brother Arnie was sharing with us last night how thankful that he was for his wife and for the different ones, sisters in the Lord, Christian sisters that God has blessed us brothers with as wives. We're so thankful. I'm thankful God gave me a good wife. Amen. You didn't hear your brothers amen loud enough on that one. How many's thankful that God gave you a good wife?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are blessed. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, into Proverbs. As you can tell, probably we're still trying to yield tonight.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh my, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I don't know about you. I want him to do the leading and the guiding.
Amen.
Amen. I've found over the years, you know, I don't claim to be a theologian or some super intelligent person, but I have found over the years that I'm smart enough to know this. When I try to do the leading and the guiding, it always winds up being a mess. But when I can just stop long enough to find the mind of the Lord and let him do the leading and the guiding, it's always a success.
Amen.
My, what a difference between a mess and a success.
Amen.
Amen. When you do it, it's a mess. When he does it, it's a success. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for an opportunity to come together and worship you. Lord, thank you for, Lord, a group of people that's willing to gather out on a cold night, Lord, and Lord, maybe some of them could have been sitting with their feet up around the fire or whatever it would be. But Lord, we come tonight with expectations that the Holy Ghost and fire will begin to fall in our midst, Lord. And we just commit the service unto you. Lord, I know in myself, as I have just alluded to, Lord, it would be a mess. But Lord, if you can come on the scene and begin to minister to the hearts of the people, if you can help me to get Nathan Bryan out of the way for just a little while, Lord, then we know the service will be a success. And we just commit it to you. Lord, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we don't look to the arm of flesh or to the wisdom of man, but we look to you, Lord. As Peter said when he stood there, to whom else would we go, Lord? Where could we go when we need help? Where could we go when we're in trouble? Where could we go when we're sick and the doctor has given up and doesn't know what else to do? Where could we go, Lord, when we have needs that maybe we just don't even know how they can be met financially or emotionally or whatever it would be. Lord, where else could we turn to but to you? Lord, we thank you that we have a place that we can turn to, a person that we can have a personal relationship and experience with, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you'd be just in the continuation of the service. Thank you for an atmosphere of worship and praise here tonight. And Lord, we come to do that, to worship you. Lord, may the worship not stop in our singing, though, but may we worship you through this sermon. May we worship you through our lives. May we worship you through our actions as we go our separate ways. We'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I want to look at this word again. We looked at it a couple weeks ago. The word yield. To give up as to superior power or authority, to yield. Now, Brother Arnie had told me something over a text a few weeks ago, and I told him I was probably going to borrow it, and so I am tonight. But in 1950, The world's first yield sign was posted at the corner of 1st and Columbia Avenue in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And before this sign was introduced, it was the most dangerous intersection in all of Tulsa. And there was already a right-of-way law that was in place, but it was difficult to enforce, and many drivers failed to abide by this right-of-way law. And so there was an officer by the name of Clinton Riggs, who was a Tulsa native and a police officer, and he began to develop a sign that he thought would maybe help alleviate these problems. He wanted a sign to post so people would know what to do, and also in the event of a collision, there'd be a sign of who was an indication of who was liable by whether the person was obeying the sign or not, depending on which direction they were coming from. And then this group called MUTCD, which is the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, decided in 1954 to add this yield sign as a regular sign in intersections across the country where a stop was not normally required. And it eventually modified a little bit from the Keystone look that it was there to a yellow sign that a lot of you are familiar with. And then they felt like yellow was the most eye-catching color. But then in 1971, when they came up with the reflective signs, they decided that as a reflective sign that red would catch the people's attention more, and so they changed the sign from yellow to red. And so now this is the normal yield sign that we see. So I just thought it was interesting that, you know, there's something about it when you need to yield. There's signs that are supposed to be the most effective to get your attention that there's a need to. Now, as we look at this, as we look at the law there was already a law in place. A law that a right-of-way law, but people were ignoring it until there was a sign given to them. So I think sometimes spiritually we go about it the same way. There's already a law, but sometimes until there's something to get our attention, that there's something behind the laws enforcing it, then sometimes we just go on and drag our feet. But, you know, whether we see a sign or not, we should always know. And it doesn't matter, you know, on the interstate when you're getting on an exit ramp or when you come to an intersection or something like that, and there's a yield sign there maybe for somebody because somebody else coming the other way has a left turn signal, that person that doesn't have the arrow, they have to yield. But in God's plan and in God's laws, it doesn't matter what direction you're coming, you always have to yield and give right away to the Lord.
Amen.
We always want to yield to Him. There's no, we don't have to wait for, you know, for some sign or we don't have to wait for a wonder. We don't have to wait for somebody to remind us or tell us. But no matter what direction you're going tonight, no matter what your condition, no matter what the problem that you're facing, if you'll just give Him the right away in your life, I promise you it'll come out all right.
Amen.
May not come out exactly the way that you planned, may not come out exactly the way that you'd like, but it'll come out for His perfect will and for your good if you'll just give Him the right of way in your life. There's another word similar to this. The word is submit, and it means to give over or yield to the power or authority of another. James, in James chapter 4, uses this word, and he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So what a promise that we have. If we submit ourselves to God, and if we resist the devil's going to flee. And if we draw nigh to God, he's going to draw nigh to us. Oh, if we could just give him the right of way more times in our life. Usually it's our own stubbornness that prevents that. We want to figure it out, and we want to do it our way and all that. But if we could just yield to him, oh my, what could he do in our lives?
Amen.
Brother Branham says this in The Maniac of Gadara, speaking of his own ministry. He said, now the way that it happens at night, I submit myself to it and have a way of doing it, of submitting myself that I am no more, it is. See, I go out and it comes in. You say, oh my, wouldn't that be wonderful to have that gift like the prophet? I want to say tonight, every person with the Holy Ghost has the ability to do this.
Amen.
Not in the form of the sign of the Son of Man. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about you stepping out of the way and getting out of the way so that he can come in and he can do the work. It may not be the exact same sign. It may not be the exact same manifestation that it was through the prophet because of his specific gift and the specific nature of his ministry. But God will, if you'll submit yourself to him and get yourself out of the way, just yield to him and say, Lord, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I want to get my opinion, my personality, my desires, my stubbornness, my temper, all these things, all my personality quirks and all that, I want to set them out of the way so that you can come in, and I believe that he'll honor that desire in your life. Amen. To see Jesus, 1954, he said, I'm uneducated, illiterate, and I have no abilities of my own, not even a normal personality. That's right. But I know one thing, and I'm thankful for that. I know how to submit myself that Jesus Christ can work through me. So I'd rather have that than all your education that there is in the world. I'd rather know how to submit myself to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Oh, my, if each and every one of us could just do that, submit ourselves to him. He goes on in this quote a little further. I don't have it up here tonight, but you can go back and search it on your own if you want to later. He said, I'd rather have that, the ability to yield himself to the Lord. He said, I'd rather have that than all the atomic power and all the atomic bombs that there are in the world, because he said, it's more effective than all the atomic powers that there is. Just to yield. All people beat their brains against the walls, and they try to come up with new scientific advances and try to figure out how to do this and how to do that and how to outdo the Russians and outdo the Chinese and how to outdo this one and that one, build a bigger bomb, build a better rocket, build a more strategic weapon that can be guided more specifically and unmanned and by drone and all these things, and they're constantly doing that. But if a person could just yield themselves to Jesus Christ, it'd be better than all the weapon defenses that you could ever have. Israel had one of the greatest armies, and Syria, another group with a great army, and yet no matter how advanced they would try to get, maybe they would try to mold and melt different metals together to make stronger shields and stronger swords and stronger helmets, and maybe one would advance the other a little bit and one the other, but there was something about it. No matter how advanced the Syrians got, there was a prophet in the land by the name of Elisha, and he stood there and he began to tell the king of Israel, hey, don't go around this way, they got a trap set for you. Why? Because it was a man that was yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the king of Syria said, goodness gracious, which one of you is a traitor? Which one of you tonight is going and telling the king of Israel my secrets that we tell in our board meetings and things? And they said, sir, we don't want to offend you or upset you, but it's none of us, but it's that there's a prophet in the land by the name of Elisha, and he's telling the king of Israel even the things that you say in your bedchamber. Oh my, if we could yield tonight, you know, if the government and the leaderships in the government could yield tonight to the Holy Spirit and let him do the leading and the guiding, all the fighting over walls and shutdowns and all that would go away, but they won't do it. Why? Because they're being anointed of a different spirit. Not just our nations, but all nations. They're being anointed by a different spirit, but yet within those nations, there's a group of people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will seek and lead. Let the Lord lead and guide them, and they won't lean to their own understanding, and they won't lean to their own technological advances, and they won't lean to trying to figure out everything on their own, but they'll yield to the Holy Spirit, and it will do more good, and you can be more in the will of God, and you can accomplish more in your life if you would do that than all of the learning and trying to figure out that you could ever do. You say, Brother Nathan, you just want us to be a bunch of idiots and do away with education? No, I believe in education, but I believe in yielding to the Holy Spirit more than I do education. Get education. You know, Solomon said, get wisdom and get all these different things. That's wonderful. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, then all you become is an educated idiot. You can become a neurotic and be educated. You can become a psychopath and be educated. You can become a serial murderer and be educated and all these different things. But if you can take your education and yield it to the Holy Spirit, if you can take your wisdom and yield it to the Holy Spirit, if you can take your talents and your gifts and your abilities and yield it to the Holy Spirit, it's no telling what you could accomplish. Brother Ram says, and it is I, be not afraid, 1960. He said, I'm your brother. I'm just a man as you are. But just being able to submit myself to the Spirit and relax, he does those things. You know, sometimes that's a lot of our problem. We get so tied up and caught up and busy in our schedules and running here and there and stressed out and running behind and doing all these things that we can't just relax and let God take control for a little while. Amen. Oh my, we got to do this and we got to go here and this is on my schedule and this, I got to go over here and do this. I got to help this brother and I got to go over here and I got to do all that. And we get so worked up and so busy that we can't just relax and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. He says again in Elijah 1955, it's submitting yourself to the Spirit of God. Just knowing how to submit yourself and you do the same thing. And you thought I was just working you up and trying to make you feel good tonight. He said, you do the same thing. You might not be able to see visions, but you can submit yourself for the working of the Holy Spirit. Who's he talking to, Brother Nathan? Is he talking to the pastors? Is he talking to the missionaries? Is he talking to the deacons? He's talking to each and every person that will yield to the Holy Spirit and submit their life to him and let him come in and get all the old trash out of their life and all their thoughts and all their ideas and all their figuring out. If they will just yield to him and submit their life to him and let him use him. I don't care if it's a 5-year-old child, if it's a 30-year-old housewife, if it's an 80-year-old senior. Whatever you are, your size, your shape, your age, your gender, whatever it is, if you'll yield to him, he can use you. Now, he might not use us all in the same way, but he will use you. And if you can yield to him in a way that he can get a hold of whatever that is that he's placing in your life, then you'll be more effective in everything that you put your hand to than you could in all you're trying to figure it out on your own. Again, in a prayer line, 1954, he says, now the thing we have to do is submit ourselves, get just completely out of the picture, and let him just take over. Usually that's the hardest thing for us to do. Oh, it's easy for us to get excited. It's easy for us to get worked up about something. It's easy for us to get upset. It's easy for us to go and take action. But to get us completely out of the picture and let him just take over, that seems like it's the hardest thing that God can get a man to do, is just completely yield himself to where God can come in such a way that it becomes not that person anymore, but it becomes the Holy Spirit using that person. You talk about an effective life. You want to get more out of your schedule. You want to get more out of your life. You want to accomplish more. You want to do more for somebody. Yield to him. Submit yourself to him. Until you get so completely out of the picture that he can just take over. Amen. You realize that's what Brother Branham's ministry was all about? He would step to the platform. He said, I've got a gift. Now, he didn't say this gift was to cast out demons. He didn't say this gift was to heal the sick. He didn't say that it was to reveal the word. He didn't say that it was to conquer Satan. He didn't say that it was to take every spirit under his control. He said the gift that God gave him was to get himself out of the way, so that God could come in and do all those things. Amen. God did all those things through him. Amen. But he had to get himself out of the way first so that God could come in and do that. And many times that's the step that we miss. We go and we try and we put our efforts and we put our time and we try to put our ability. And Lord, I'm going to do this. And today I'm going to go visit Brother So-and-so and I'm going to encourage him. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to pray for this one. And I'm going to sing a special and I'm going to preach a sermon. And I. When if we would just yield ourselves to him until we could get I and me and you and all that out of the picture completely, then he could come in and do all those things that we're trying to do, and we're beaten at the air many times in our trying, but if we would let him do the work, oh my, what could be accomplished? He says, and what went you out to see, 1959? He said, God's training his people. God's training his church. If we're only willing to let God have his way and to do that with thing which is right, if we're only willing to submit ourselves unto him. He's trying to train his church. He's trying to train his people to do what? To submit ourselves to him. Again, led by the Spirit of God, 1956. I tell you, devils will tremble and sinners will wake when men and women submit themselves to God and are led by the Holy Spirit. He said, what a difference it is. What a difference it is. My, we can take all night and just go back and look at different characters in the Bible of what a difference it was. What a difference it was. Here was Paul, a man that was set at the feet of Gamaliel and had been taught the law of Moses, one of the best teachers that there was. And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And my, and no doubt when he went to the synagogues, they said, oh, here comes our precious brother Saul, and he's going to maybe get up and teach us this Sabbath. And my, he just had everybody wanted to welcome him and sit him on the front row of the church. And my, what a great renowned man that he was and all of his wisdom. And my, he was in good with the high priest, and the high priest was sending him out and giving him papers and things to go and put people in prison and arrest them. And he was just working his way right up the ecumenical ladder, and he was gaining popularity. And he, no doubt his, he didn't have many financial worries, and everybody wanted to invite him and put him in their pulpits. And then, you know, but he really wasn't accomplishing a whole lot except for himself. You never hear of Paul any signs or wonders or miracles or healings, or and he put a lot of people in jail, and he stood witness to a lot of people being killed, and he could prove a lot of people wrong with his intellectual ability to argue the scriptures and things like that. But to, when he really became effective was when the Holy Spirit came in, and now all of a sudden he said, I had to go and unlearn all that I had learned. He said, I didn't learn it of men's wisdom, but he said it was given to me by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And what a difference it made in Paul's life. When he was led by the Holy Spirit, what a difference it became when from this man who he knew the word, he could quote it, he could memorize it, he could go about, he could tell people about the law and about what Moses did once upon a time way back there. But when it came to actually putting the word into action and the word being made manifest in his life, it was just all about him. It wasn't about Jesus Christ. But when he came and he was struck down by a pillar of fire, by a supernatural light, and he received the Holy Ghost, then immediately he goes into action, and what begins to take place? The dead begin to be raised. The sick begin to be healed. He begins to impart the baptism of the Holy Ghost on others while he's preaching and while he's talking and while he's laying hands on them. People begin to get the Holy Ghost over in this city and over in that city, and jails begin to shake down and shackles begin to loose, and demon spirits begin to go out of people. What was it? The very same man, maybe wearing the very same robe that he wore before. But what a difference it made once this man could yield to the Holy Spirit. Then God could do something through him. Yes. Questions and Answers, 1959. If you'll submit yourself to God, God will make you work right into his plan. Again, from that time, 1960, he said, the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life is just submit yourself to God and walk in the Spirit, see? Just day after day, how he will lead you and do things. This is a man that had seen thousands of people give their hearts to Jesus Christ in one meeting. This was a man that had seen truckloads of cripples put their crutches and their wheelchairs and all kinds of things, their stretchers, in seven truckloads. He had seen miracles like this. He had seen blind eyes come open. He had seen the dead raised. He had seen demon spirits go out of people. My, what would you say the greatest thing was that you'd ever seen when you had a ministry like that? And he says, the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life is just submit yourself to God and walk in the Spirit. See just day after day how he will lead you and do things. This was a man that was not just talking. He wasn't just saying this. This wasn't just a speech. It wasn't just a sermonette. It wasn't just a lecture that he got up and said some nice words to tickle the ears of the people. This was a man that would go into Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he would get ready for breakfast that morning, and the angel of the Lord would begin to lead him down the street. And here he is with his wife and another sister. And they go down and they're looking for a restaurant, and the angel of the Lord could speak to this man and say, "Stop right there at Miller's Cafeteria and go in." And the sister with him said, "Brother Branham, don't do that." Said, "My, if you get in there, my, we'll never get out of there. People will recognize who you are." He said, "But he said to stop here." And he goes in, he goes through the smorgasbord, and he gets his meal, and he sits down there in the cafeteria, and he eats his meal, and they didn't see a pillar of fire. And they didn't see angels flying around the cafeteria. And they didn't see anybody running and casting themselves at his feet and being delivered of a demon spirit. And they sat there and ate their meal. And they get up and they walk outside on the sidewalk. Somebody might have thought, well, what does that have to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit? He just stopped there and went in for his meal. And he gets out on the sidewalk, and a woman walks by and she said, "Are you Brother Branham?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "The Lord gave me a dream last night and said to be at Miller's Cafeteria at 9:00. And she said, "Here, I'm walking down the sidewalk and I saw you come out." She said, "I've been trying to get in the prayer line and things." He stops and prays for her, and he walks down the sidewalk a little further, and the Holy Spirit says, "Stop." Oh, Mike, if we could yield to him like that, where he could tell us when to stop and when to go and what restaurant to go into and what grocery store to stop at and where to send our children to school and where to attend church and how to handle situations in our family. Oh my, the picture would change completely for many of us. Amen. If we could be so yielded to him where he could guide our day-to-day life. Oh, it's wonderful when he comes and he anoints on Sunday, and he can lead the pastor, and he can lead the deacons, and he can lead the song leader and the musicians, and he can lead you to your pew, and you can feel his presence, and you can come up for prayer, and you can do your part and raise your hands in worship. It's wonderful when he leads us like that. But I don't know about you. I don't want it to just be a Sunday and a Wednesday leading, but I want him to lead me on Monday when I get out of bed. What should I do, Lord? Where should I go? How can I be effective for you today? How can I do something that's going to impact somebody for the positive? How can I do something that's going to shake the gates of hell and that's going to make the gates of heaven begin to rejoice and the angels begin to sing and shout when they see what God can use through a little humble person down on earth? Amen. He walked a little further and the Holy Spirit said, "Stop." What's he doing? He's not trying to be something. He's not trying to be somebody. He's not going out and naming it and claiming it and trying to take power and trying to do this and do that. He's just living his life, walking down the street, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Maybe just a normal Monday or Thursday or whatever day it was. And he stops because the Holy Spirit tells him to. And a lady walks by, looks around, and just keeps on walking. He thought, well, what's this all about? And she gets almost to the next block there, the next intersection. She stops and turns around and looks. She walks back. She said, are you Brother Branham? He said, yes. She said, the Holy Spirit gave me a dream last night, said to come here at 9:10 and be standing on this sidewalk. And she almost walked right by. My, you see how the Holy Spirit can plan your itinerary better than you can? Amen. He didn't have Brother Billy Paul sit and say, okay, at 9:00 you're going to meet this sister, and at 9:10 you're going to meet that sister. They'd like a few minutes with you for a private interview. But the Holy Spirit was just leading him and guiding him. Oh my, I don't know about you. I want to open up my itinerary for him to be able to use me any way that he can. Amen. As much as I like to get together with some of you and fellowship with you, as much as I like to spend time with my family, and as much as I like to, you know, go and visit with other minister brothers and things like that, I just want to tell you and warn you ahead of time that if I'm on my way to any of those things and the Holy Spirit leads me a different direction, you'll get a text or a phone call and say, "I'm sorry, I'd love to get with you, but not today." And that might offend you, and that might hurt your feelings. You might say, well, I guess Brother Nathan's just too busy for me. But it's not that. But I want to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that if he leads me to the hospital or if he leads me to wherever he would lead me, that it would be more important than whatever I had on the schedule for that day. Amen. Queen of the South, 1958. Don't get nervous. Just relax. Just relax. and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Watch what he will do. Oh my, in this age of confusion, in this age of social media and fast internet and fast food and fast everything, it's so hard for us just to relax. The scripture said, be still and know that I'm God. And we can't hardly be still for 5 seconds for anything. But a prophet of God said, don't get nervous. Just relax. Amen. Just relax and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and watch what he'll do. Brother Trevor texted me a picture Sunday afternoon. After the service in Sarasota. And he said, tell the church, get in your hammock. And then the service was so, you know, serene and everything Sunday night, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But I thought there'll be another time I can share that. But then he sent me this picture of just all these hammocks out there in the, that's beside the church there in Sarasota, isn't it? They've got a little fellowship area, a little fellowship building, and they're right beside the church in Sarasota. And they've got these nice, lovely trees that the Lord spaced out just right. And so a lot of the people that drive for a distance, they'll stay and eat in the fellowship area or just hang out there in fellowship until the evening service. And so apparently somebody had caught the vision that Brother Trevor has been trying to share with us of just get in the hammock for a while. Amen. Just let him speak to you. Relax a little while. As Brother Stephen Kabina said, calm down. Take a minute. Don't get worried. Don't get distraught. Amen. He's still in control of this thing.
Amen.
But many times we're so busy trying to figure it all out, we don't take a step back and just submit to him. Oh my, I don't know about you, but I want to give him the right of way in my life.
Amen.
Faith is our victory, 1958. He said, just give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Then it isn't you anymore. You don't know what you're going to say. You just let him do the same. Now, he's not just talking about his own ministry here. He didn't say, what I do is I give myself over the Spirit, and then it isn't me anymore. It's him that's talking. He's talking about you tonight. He said, you just give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Then it isn't you anymore. You don't know what you're going to say. You just let him do the same. You realize we have scripture for that. Jesus said when they take you into the courts and things like that, he said, take no thought what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will give you what to say in that very hour. We heard a testimony just recently that I shared about Brother Ron Lilly and how the Lord did that for him. Amen. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still able to do these things in our life. He says in Conference with God, 1959, you see, there it's God working through. So when a person is so completely yielded to the Holy Spirit and speaking, it is not the person speaking. He said, I know that by experience. I know that by experience. If a person will yield themselves so completely to the Holy Spirit, then it's no longer that person speaking. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through them. Oh, I'm sure every one of us here can testify of times that we've seen God do that to us or through us. Amen. Sometimes it's happening to us that we know deep down in our heart, maybe there's something there that we're upset about something, or there's something that's wrong or something going on in our life. And somebody pick up the phone and call us, or stand out here in the parking lot and begin to fellowship with us, or turn on a tape and it just begin to go right down those lines, or sit in a service and a minister begin to go right into that channel. And you sit there and you recognize that wasn't my brother speaking to me. That wasn't just Brother Branham. That wasn't just a humble Kentuckian speaking. That wasn't just Sister so-and-so in the parking lot. That wasn't just Brother so-and-so on the phone, but that was the Holy Spirit trying to get my attention.
Amen.
And there's been other times when maybe instead of the receiving end, you were on the sending end of it, and maybe the Lord laid something on your heart and you thought, Lord, I don't understand why that you would have me do this. I don't understand why you would have me to say this. I don't understand what the purpose is. I don't understand how you could even use me and all my failures and all my faults and all my flaws, and maybe the devil beat you up about it. But then finally, you yielded. Finally, you began to give right away to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you went ahead and you did whatever it was, and a burden just lifted right off of you.
Amen.
And you felt as free as a bird, felt like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And somebody maybe told you 3 years later, you don't know all the history of what was going on there, but God used you to speak to my situation. God used you to be a help. Oh, I believe he can still use people like that. It is I, be not afraid, 1954. He said, and if Jesus is in us, then we submit ourselves and get our human side out. Jesus Christ uses our bodies for his glory. Amen. Oh, if you've never experienced that, you ought to yield to him and just let Jesus Christ use your body for his glory. Let him begin to walk through you down the street, and let him begin to turn you where he would have you turn, and stop where he'd have you stop, and go where he'd have you go, and say what he'd have you say, and run into whoever he'd have you run into, even if it's somebody that you'd really rather not see. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ can use your body for his glory. The seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, 1961. The Holy Spirit can work through us. Then we become a channel. What if there was a short in the speaker tonight? You'd never be able to hear me. It'd be all full of static. You wouldn't know what I was saying. Well, that's just like we are. That's a mute until something makes a noise in it. It cannot speak itself. And that's the way we are. We know nothing about the heavenlies. But it takes the Holy Spirit to come down and use our eyes for visions, our lips for words and prophecies, and speak the words and watch the things happen. Right. Using your eyeballs. Amen. To selfishly just look and see what's in it for me and how can I get something better out of this, but to look around and see there's somebody that's suffering. There's somebody that's been scarred and hurt, and there's somebody that's going through pain in their life. There's somebody that's got disappointments. There's somebody that's on the ash heap, and let him look around through your eyes, and you'll find yourself very quickly realizing, oh my, I guess I don't have it so bad after all. You'll find yourself realizing, oh my, there were situations that I wasn't aware of, and there was goings on that I wasn't aware of. There's people in need that God can use me to be a help to. You'll begin to act his actions and speak his words and walk the way that he walks. Amen. How are you going to do it? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. Conferences with God, 1959. What are we? His mouthpiece. We submit ourselves to him, and our words are not our words. Oh my. You ever experienced that? To where your words are all of a sudden not your words. And sometimes you hear yourself speaking and you think, what on earth was that? As we looked at a few weeks ago, the maniac in Gadara there, and he runs and throws himself down at Jesus' feet, and hear a demon spirit speaking to this man and Jesus speaking back, and yet it was two spirits spiritually combating one another, and neither one of those two men really physically were the ones that were speaking. It was the Holy Spirit on the inside of Jesus, and it was the devil on the inside of Legion. And then we fast forward about 2,000 and something years, and here stands a man on the platform with the same spirit, not the fullness of it, but a portion of it, standing on the platform. And here comes a man running in the back doors of the building in Portland with a portion of what Legion had in him, and these two spirits begin to combat one another. And neither are the two men saying anything, but the spirits within them speaking to one another. Right. You can submit yourself to him, and our words are not our words. Amen. Now, if we can do that to him, then you have to recognize, Brother Bram said, you're either anointed from above or you're anointed from below. And sometimes under pressure, sometimes under stressful situations and under financial distress and in a hurry and pressures on you and things like that, you can also yield to another spirit and it can begin to say things through you. Peter, before he got truly converted, he could stand there and absolutely deny Jesus. I don't know about you. No matter how far I ran from the Lord, I don't think I ever got to that place in my life where I would just stand there and deny him. I think I'd rather taken a bullet. Even in my distress, even in my sin, even as low as I stooped, I never just flat out denied Jesus Christ. And yet this man, an unconverted man, anointed by an evil spirit, couldn't have been anything else. I was thinking about it again the other day when Jesus turns around and he tells Peter, he said, Satan, get behind me. And he's standing there. Get behind me, Satan. And all that Peter's trying to do in his mind is he's just taking up for Jesus and telling him, hey, Lord, I'm not going to let him come and crucify you. I'm not going to let him treat you that way. I'll never do that. And he turns and he says, Satan, get behind me. You're always a hindrance to me. And they get there and they're coming up on the Last Supper. And Jesus begins to talk to him and he begins to wash their feet. And he tells them, you're clean, but not all. And here he is washing Peter's feet, or trying to. Peter said, not my feet, Lord. He said, well, you know, if I don't wash you, then you have no part with me. He said, oh, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head too. And he said, well, you're clean, but not all. And no doubt they thought, uh-huh, he keeps saying these little things about Peter. And he tells them that they had all, that he hadn't lost one that had been given him except the son of perdition. And that was his, what his future was predestinated to be. And he said that, you know, one of them would deceive him and he was a devil and that it'd be the one that was stopping him. And in your mind, if you'd been sitting there, no doubt we would all went back and said, you know, Peter's been acting a little strange. And he, Jesus did call him, say, Satan, get behind me the other day. It's probably Peter. But here Judas, you know, he was always wanting to take up for the poor widow woman and the poor single mother and all those and say, oh, don't let them give into the treasury, Jesus. That money that could have been taken and given, that money that lady paid for the alabaster box, we could have taken that and we could have given it to the poor. And oh my, he was so mindful of the poor and so generous. Surely it couldn't have been Judas. No, he was holding the bag himself. He was just watching out for himself. But most of us might not have caught Judas's spirit, but Jesus did. Jesus could look right through it. And here Peter, many times when Satan comes and he begins to torment you and he begins to lie to you and tell you that you'll never make it and that you're nothing, you've done this and that, just remind him about Peter. Say, hey, Satan, let's have a little conversation for a minute. Buddy, I want to remind you about a guy named Peter, that he did something worse than I've ever done. He denied Jesus right there when Jesus was in looking distance of him. Denied him right to his face, and Jesus turned and looked at him, and the cock crowed. And he knew what he had done. And right before that, Jesus had said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. How could we have ever gave a guy like that the keys to the kingdom? We wouldn't have gave him the keys to our car. We wouldn't have gave him the keys to our house, let alone the keys to the kingdom. But Jesus could look on past time and past the present and see what this man was going to be. And that it wasn't going to be Peter's old carnal temper and nature and humanity, and wasn't going to be his daddy Jonas's nature, and it wasn't going to be all that, but he was going to have a nature change on the day of Pentecost. And that a few days later, he's going to walk down the street and perform the same things that Jesus did when he was here. Oh my, I thank God for foresight, for predestinated foresight, that he could look and that he didn't give up on me and he didn't give up on you. But he could look and say, they ain't what they ought to be right now, but just give them a little time. They'll yield. It may take me a while to get their attention, but they'll yield. Oh my. Submit ourselves to him. And then our words are not our words. The Oneness of Unity, 1958. Played this for Brother Arnie and Brother Jeremy the other night. This is when Brother Branham's standing there and he's been preaching hard and the people were rejecting the message. And he begins to speak and all of a sudden, if you turn up the volume, you can actually hear it on the tape. There's a wind that rushes through the building. And he says, how many felt that? And people begin to raise their hand. He said, it even moved my coat. He said, it flowed through and moved my coat. And he said, that was him speaking back. And he said, how many's healed? And people began to stand up. He said, how many couldn't move your hand before, move it? How many couldn't move your legs before, walk? How many couldn't get up out of the wheelchairs? And people began to get up and be healed. And during all this, he says, Jesus said, if ye shall say, what is it when you're out from Babylon, you're out from under unbelief, you're out from under superstitions, you're out from under all these things and you're filled with God's own life. Your voice is his voice. Oh my. What is this? The one we quote so many times from Statue of a Perfect Man. God's looking for a body. Not a temple with a big bell on top. But a body that God can walk in. God can speak in. God can work through to where your voice becomes His voice. Brother Bram tells us in the Church Age book, he says, the bride will be the final voice to the final age. There's somebody that's going to fulfill that.
Amen.
People can like it or not like it or whatever they want to do, but somebody will fulfill that. Somebody will be a portion of that bride that becomes the final voice to the final age. It won't just be somebody's personality of name it and claim it. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But it'll be a group of people, as he said, read the rest of it. He said they'll become so yielded to the Holy Spirit to where they'll have thus saith the Lord or they'll keep still.
Amen.
Oh, if we could yield ourselves in that way. If we could submit ourselves that way. If we could watch and pray and seek God in that way until we had thus saith the Lord or we kept still. Oh my, you talk about making Satan mad. It'd make him more mad than all the arguing you could do. It'd be make him more mad than all the proven wrong and the quote wars you could do. If he could find somebody, if Jesus Christ could find somebody that would yield in such a way to whether they had thus saith the Lord or they kept still about it. What about that, Brother Nathan? What about this situation? I don't have thus saith the Lord yet, so I'm just going to keep still about it. Oh my, preaching to the preacher now. But I figure if I'm preaching to me, I'm probably hitting some of you too. So I'll just keep preaching. Is that okay?
All right, brother.
If we could yield to the Holy Spirit until we would have thus saith the Lord or we would keep still, we'd probably waste a lot less time and our blood pressure would probably stay a lot lower and probably digest our meals a lot better and get along with people better. And to see Jesus, 1954. Well, praise the Lord. I got at least 15 minutes left. This is where for four services now that I've been trying to get to.
Amen.
Every time I get to about this point, I run out of time. So to see Jesus, 1954, he says someday he will return and we will see him. Until that time, he's with us in a spirit form. And he only has hands as we yield our hands. You know, if people could really, this is an old quote, I know. Somebody told me the other day, said, oh, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to those Old Testament quotes. I said, hey, when Jesus came, he didn't do away with the Old Testament. He only magnified it. Amen. So I believe the Old Testament and the New Testament. We claim that this is the infallible word of God. I never heard Brother Bram say, after Malachi, you know, start at Matthew 1, that's the infallible word of God. But, you know, unless it's something that we can find on down through the years where there was more light shown on, where Brother Branham came around and corrected something, then I believe 47, from the very first words that he said, just as much as I do the 1965 last words that he said. And if we could just take this quote, it would settle a lot of arguments around the message about the coming of the Lord. Everybody wants to argue about it. Are we still looking for him? Did he come on the day of Pentecost? Did he come in 63? When did he come? Well, if he came on the day of Pentecost, then I guess the angel of the Lord must have been confused because he told Brother Branham that his message would forerun the second coming. So if he came on the day of Pentecost, the angel must have stepped out of time from the other dimension. He must have stepped into the wrong time zone or something. I believe he came in spirit form on the day of Pentecost. But I believe in three physical comings that he'll come again. He's here in spirit form, but yet he's not just a spirit floating around. He's here in bride form. He is here in bride form, and he's telling us someday he will return and we will see him, a physical Jesus. We'll have a body like his own glorious body. We'll see him as he is. Someday he'll return and we'll see him. Until that time, he's with us. Not a million miles away. Not on a cloud somewhere.
All right.
Not somewhere untouchable where we have to contact Mary or Brother Branham or somebody on over there to get in contact with him and pray through them. No, he's not a million miles away. Brother Branham said he's just as close to you as your own right arm. And I can pray to him and have a personal relationship to him just as much as I can have a personal relationship with Brother Jimmy and sit down at his house and talk to him. I can have a conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's actually closer to me than Brother Jimmy or my wife or my children because he lives right on the inside of me. Now I can go over and shake Brother Layton's hand, and his spirit can confirm with my spirit, and we can fellowship and go back and forth, and his spirit can agree with my spirit, and we can have a wonderful time, but his spirit's not down on the inside of me. Amen. And I hope it never is, and I hope my spirit's never on the inside of him. It'd just be a bunch of confusion and nonsense. But we both got the Holy Spirit down on the inside of us.
Amen.
And he's in spirit form inside of flesh again today.
Yes.
Not the same Lord Jesus that they saw ascending into heaven, but he's in bride form today. And we will see him, but until I see him. Now, don't get me wrong. You get to preaching like this, and brothers say, oh, poor Brother Nathan. He's still looking for angels flying around with feathers, and he's still thinking we're going to fly away up in the clouds and sit with the harp and all that. No, just because I don't agree with somebody on their doctrine doesn't mean that I'm still back in Methodist tradition. Amen. I'm not looking to, you know, when we say I'll fly away, I'm not looking to do a Peter Pan up into the heavens and sit on a cloud and look down on my loved ones. And I'm looking to take a step into another dimension. And all of a sudden, my wrinkles and my gray hair that my children keep reminding me about, and any sickness in my body, and any tiredness, anything, all of a sudden, I'll breathe with lungs that have never breathed smog. I'll breathe with lungs that have never breathed secondhand smoke. And I'll begin to look down and think, oh my, I've been changed, Brother Layton. Amen. The earnest... The down payment has now been paid in full, and here I am standing, not just the earnest of it, not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not just the promise of the resurrection, but here I am changed. Amen. I believe when I get in that dimension, I'll be able to look around and see other people in that dimension. I believe I'll see Brother Branham. I believe I'll see my loved ones that are gone. I believe I'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that time, don't leave him a million miles away in some other area or on some other planet or on some cloud. He's right here with us in spirit form. And the only way he's going to work is if he works through you, or if he works through me, or if he works through somebody else that'll yield themselves. He only has hands as we yield our hands. That's what Brother Branham said. These aren't Brother Nathan's words. As I've said before, I don't even think they're just Brother Branham's words. Amen. I believe he was yielding to the same Holy Spirit that we're trying to yield to tonight. He's with us in spirit form, and he only has hands as we yield our hands. He only has eyes as we yield our eyes. A voice as we yield our voice to him, and we become a complete yielded vessel. Then the Holy Spirit speaks through us. This microphone here, it's a mute unless there's a voice here to go through it. And that's the way we are. The church is. The church is a complete mute unless it is subject to the Spirit of God to let the Spirit speak through the church as God will. And then it becomes a voice to the world as long as it's an outlet. The church is the outlet of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ to the peoples of the world. Now, I know the amount of people that believe this are quickly dwindling away, but I still believe that there's still a voice in the land today. Amen. That there's a voice of the bride of Jesus Christ that they can yield themselves to, where the Holy Spirit can use them to be a voice to the peoples of the world.
Yep.
Let's be honest. There may be some people at your job and some people at your school and some people that you come in contact with at Walmart and down in the grocery that will never hear the physical voice of the prophet. They may never hear a tape. They may never pick up a Bible, but the Holy Spirit can still be a voice to them through your life. Amen. There'll be many that will judge, not by what tape they heard, not by what scripture they read, but by the Holy Spirit manifesting itself in the life of some believer that they saw the Holy Spirit moving. They recognize there's something different about that person. The way they live. Oh, if we isolate ourselves away from everybody and we don't want to touch any unbeliever because they got cooties, how will we ever manifest the Holy Spirit in someone's life? Amen. I don't know about you. I want to yield to where we can get that last one in. I want to yield to where my light can shine, not just in church of the open door, not just out here in the parking lot, not just at some believer's house when I go over to fellowship with them, not just in a restaurant at our own little private booth, but wherever I go, I want the Holy Spirit to be able to use me to be a light to the lost and the dying and those that are thirsting for something out here in Laodicea. May God use our lives as a voice to this age. We have found him, 1954. If Jesus was here in person, in flesh, And he pauses and he says, he is here in flesh, but it's in your flesh. He is here in flesh, but it's in your flesh, in my flesh. Amen. I believe we'll see him in flesh. I believe we'll see a physical body, and I'll be able to recognize him as Jesus and fall down at his feet and worship him. But I believe he's still in flesh tonight. He's always had representation on the earth, all the way back in the days of Moses, all the way back in the days of Noah, all the way back in the days of Adam. He was here in flesh. He was moving and working through individuals, anointing even before the fullness of the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. He was still working in flesh. If he could do that back under the blood of bulls and goats, what can he do tonight when the Holy Ghost has come and separated itself to come in human flesh? He said he is here in flesh, but it's in your flesh. And we yield ourself to him. Our self dies out and Jesus takes up. What is the works of God? 1959. He's manifesting himself to us in human flesh, our flesh, through the Holy Spirit, as we can yield ourselves to that Holy Spirit. Now, there is the thing, knowing how to yield yourself. And some people is set in the church. Some can yield themselves to preaching. Some can yield themselves easily to teaching. Some can yield themselves to prophesying. Some can yield themselves to other gifts. So all the gifts won't be alike. They wasn't alike then. Paul said they wasn't. He's referring to 1 Corinthians 12 when Paul said there's diversities of gifts and diversities of tongues, but all the same Holy Spirit that worketh all and through all and in you all. But each man, Brother Branham says, is called and placed in the church for a purpose. And if you'll find out what God can use him best at, and yield himself to that place, he will be a success. Amen. You want to be a success? Find out what God is trying to get you to yield to. And then you yield to it with everything that you've got. Amen. Whether it's popular or whether it's not popular. Whether people still believe in it today or whether they don't believe in it. If you can find it in the scripture and it's there and it's a promise and it's a gift in your life, then you yield to it with everything that you've got and God will use you and you'll be a success. Each man is called and placed into the church for a purpose, he said. Each man. Now we believe in the nine spiritual gifts, and we believe in the five ministering gifts. The Bible said that God placed them in the church. God calls those men. God ordains those men. But let's not stop there. He said each man is called and placed into the church for a purpose. You have a purpose. Amen. If you come and you sit here and you enjoy the services and you worship the Lord with us, praise the Lord. We thank you for that. Amen. If you take it a step further than that and you support the church with your tithes and with your prayers and you're faithful, you come Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, we thank you for that. That's even above and beyond that. But let me tell you, God did not just call you to sit on a pew. He did not call you just to write out a check and fill an envelope with it. He did not just call you to sit back there and amen when I'm really getting on somebody that you think I really ought to go down that path and get them. But God has called you and placed you into the body of Christ for a purpose. He's called you not so that you can just sit and amen the pastor or the prophet. That's wonderful. I loved amen the prophet. I loved amen these brothers that get up and preach for us when they get in a channel that God can use them. But he called me to do more than just amen. I love to raise my hands and praise him, but he called me to do more than that. I love to get up and sing the songs of Zion. I love to pay my tithes. I love to help brothers. I love to give missionary offerings. I love to come to church. All that's wonderful, but he has called us to more than that. He has called us for a purpose so that he can get you into a channel where he can use you, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day of the life of your life. When you get up and you wake up in the morning and you breathe that breath of life into you and you stretch and you say, Lord, where can I yield today? How can you use me today? Where can I go today? What would you like me to do today, Lord? Oh, I want to yield to him. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1956. He said he's in his church today doing his high priest work, working through his people as they yield themselves to him for the same purpose. You believe God can use you? to be a high priest. He said he's doing his high priest work through his people.
Amen.
We're supposed to be priests and kings.
Amen.
Not mopers and gropers and complainers, gripers. I mean, hopefully you're not a groper either. Mopers and gripers. Well, how did Brother Ron Spencer sing it when he was here? There's room at the cross for you. There's a deacon at the door that will help you. If that's your problem. We would see Jesus, 1957. To know the words, not life, but to know him is life. To know him, you don't have to be a scholar. You have to be a submitted person. And when you submit yourself to Christ, Christ is obligated to fill that vacancy that you've poured out on the altar to him. He's obligated to his word to do it, and he will not fail you.
Amen.
Again, when their eyes were open, 1956, he's here, he's everywhere. And if you'll submit yourself to him and believe him, the same works that was performed when he was here on earth, he will perform them right back again. There's not another religion in the world that can do that outside of Christianity. Amen. There's no other promise that the life of the originator of that religion will come back and do the same works through the followers except Christianity.
Amen.
Oh, I wonder how many times we sell ourselves short and we live so far below our standards. And Jesus Christ standing there just waiting and watching and pleading for somebody that can yield themselves to a point where he can work through their life, where he can encourage somebody, where he can put you in a car or on a plane or in a taxi cab or whatever it is and take you right to somebody's doorstep like he did Brother Branham there in Memphis. I don't think that was just for the prophet. I thank God that he used the prophet that way, but I believe the Holy Spirit still leads and guides people like that.
Amen.
To where you can just start off walking and not know where you're going. Just say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I just feel like you're leading me this direction. And I'm going to keep going this direction until you tell me to stop or go another direction. And he can lead you right to somebody that needs to hear some kind of inspiration, that needs to hear some kind of encouragement, that needs to hear a word from the Lord. And he can take you right up to that person. Maybe you don't know who they are or what they're going through or what their past has been. And he can place the right words on your lips to completely revolutionize their life. You say, I don't think God could use me that way, Brother Nathan. Oh, don't you limit the Holy Spirit to what he can do and who he can use. He'll use anybody he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants. Don't you try to limit him like Moses did and say, well, Lord, I'm slow of speech and I stutter and I stumble. And I killed a man back in Egypt. And I guess I don't know how you could ever use me. Don't make him have to pet you and baby you and drag you along. Submit to him.
Amen.
Submit to him. Say, Lord, if we could just recognize it's not us in the first place. We try to figure out how to be righteous enough and how to be holy enough and how to do this, how to do enough works and how to accomplish enough. And Lord, how can I do this for you and how can I do that for you? It's not you in the first place. If it's going to be anything that's going to be an accomplishment for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I don't have to depend on my righteousness. When I go to do something for the Lord, I'm dependent on his righteousness.
Yes.
Nathan Bryant couldn't help anybody in the first place. Hey man, I can't help myself. It takes him.
Amen.
But when he comes and he begins to perform through human beings again today, what is it? He's in flesh again, but it's your flesh.
Yes.
He's still got representation on the earth today, but you're that representation. Oh, God, help us to be better representatives.
Amen.
I think sometimes, when these brothers go out of town, things like that, and they go to evangelize or to missionary or things like that, and no doubt in the back of their mind, or at least I hope they do, they're thinking, I'm representing Church of the Open Door. And I hope they take it a step further than that, not just represent Church of the Open Door, but I'm representing this message, and I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I want my actions and my spirit to reflect positively on the Lord and on the message and on the church I attend. But let's not leave it to the evangelist and the missionary. Each and every one of us, You realize sometimes the way we treat people out here, the way you treat people at your job, the way you treat people at your school, the way you treat people in your extended family, the way you treat that little waitress that can't hardly pour a drink and doesn't apparently know what, you know, how long you've been sitting at your table and what you ordered or how you like your food cooked, or doesn't seem like she knows anything, but maybe she's having the worst day of her life. Maybe her husband walked off and left her with a house full of kids and she's about to lose her mind. You realize you're a representative of Jesus Christ out there? And how you treat that person at your job that maybe has talked bad about you, how you treat those people you come in contact with. Maybe you think, well, bless God, they didn't do it the way that I liked, and they don't treat me the way that I like, and they don't talk to me with respect, and they don't, oh my. Remember, it's not about you. Amen. It's about Him.
Right.
It's not about me. It's about Him.
That's right.
Amen. And our actions, we're representatives. If President Trump called you up today and said, brother or sister, whoever you are, I'd like you to go over to this certain country and be a representative for the United States to go over and express something to them. You'd want to do everything just right and say everything just right and be as politically correct and as humble and as nice and as sweet as you could to them. And you'd call back and give reports and do all this. And my, how wonderful that would be to be able to do something for our country. But hey, we're serving a higher kingdom than that. And we forget many times that when we walk out of these walls and we pack that name of Christian and we pack that name of message believer and we pack that name of Church of the Open Door, whatever it would be, we're a representative of those things. And how we treat somebody out there. We were sitting at Applebee's the other night, me and Sister Rebecca, and I can't remember who else was there. I can't remember who was in that. Maybe Brother Anthony and Sister Tina. I don't remember. It's been a month or so ago, and I've slept since then, but... But we were sitting there, and it was late, and there was another table that had come in and sat right beside us, a big long table, and you could tell they was Pentecostal or something. And I heard the waitress walk by as they left, and she said, my, sure is nice to see people treating one another good after church on a Wednesday night. And she said it real sarcastically because of the way this people at the table was treating her. And I thought, Lord, don't let that be my testimony. Don't let that be my testimony. May we recognize that we're representing Jesus Christ. That we should act like He would act and treat people like He would treat. We get so empowered and we feel like, well, we have rights and we should be treated a certain way with respect and we should have this and we should have that and all that. Don't you realize that's the spirit of the age, not the spirit of Christ?
Right.
He was able to humble Himself. And even, I mean, we get so focused on we're right and everybody else is wrong. Hey, if there was ever anybody that could say, hey, I'm right and everybody else is wrong, it was Jesus. Can you imagine what life that must have been like to go through? We think we have it sometimes. Brother Bram said you wouldn't want the gift that even he had, let alone think about to be Jesus Christ and as a little boy be playing with people and maybe the Holy Spirit on the inside of him reveal to him things about their life, that what they were going to be and what their end was going to be. And no sin in his life, and yet people treating him as he was Beelzebub. Going about, all he ever did was try to help people and heal the sick and raise the dead and deliver the demon-possessed, and people hated him for it.
Right.
And if there was ever anybody that could turn around and say, hey, I'm right and you all are wrong, it was him. But he didn't have a chip on his shoulder and say, hey, everybody else owes me something. He humbled himself. I just sent a brother the quote today. He said Brother Branham said he got down in the dust with the prostitutes and the drunkards and the sinners so that he could help somebody. He humbled himself. But we want to think we're somebody. Bless God, I'm a message believer, I'll have you know. Bless God, I'm right on all these doctrines, and these brothers over here, they don't know what they're... Bless God, I go to certain church. Bless God, I've been in the message this many years, and I've listened to this many tapes, and I've read this many books, and I've done this, and I've done that. Nobody owes us anything. But we owe Him everything.
Amen.
Amen. God help us to be better representatives of the kingdom of God. May we yield to Him in such a way to where He could speak through us. He could look through us. He could work through us. He could walk through us. He could help somebody through us. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Musicians, if you come tonight. Oh, Lord. how we fail so many times. Lord, may the people not have the illusion that I'm just preaching to them tonight, Lord. But hopefully any of them that know me at all know that I'm preaching all over myself tonight too. Lord, that how each and every one of us, we need to yield more to you. We need to yield to your spirit in the way we treat people, the way we handle situations, the way we talk about one another. Help us to yield to you, Lord. Help us not to get so self-centered and so focused on everything that we're trying to accomplish, Lord, that we fail, that we miss opportunities where you could speak through us, where we could encourage somebody, where we could help somebody that's going through a trial, that's maybe confused and hurt and living a life of depression and anxiety and doesn't know where to turn or what to do. And maybe they're thinking of committing suicide and just giving up completely. And maybe they feel like they have no hope. Oh, Lord, lead us to people like that so we can tell them about the hope that we have within us. Help us not to be so busy that we let opportunities go by, Lord, where we could have an impact on somebody's life. Help us not to be so self-centered and so about self that we fail to let you use us. Lord, I feel like the Holy Spirit, that you're just longing, that you're searching, that you're pleading with individuals for us just to yield long enough, for us just to sit quietly long enough, for us just to relax and settle down and stop being so stressed and busy long enough for you to speak to us and speak through us and use us to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. Lord, may our efforts not just be some sort of self-righteous agenda so that people will look at us and say, oh, what a great person they are. What a great Christian they are. Look how much they've helped this one. Look how much they've done for this. Oh, God, may people be able to look and not see our actions. May they not see our face. May they not see our name. Lord, if nobody ever knows my name, if my name doesn't make the history books, if my name doesn't make the top 100 preachers in the message list, Lord, as long as it's on the Lamb's Book of Life, what do I care? Whether anybody ever knows me or knows about me or not, Lord, if I can get them to see you, Lord, then truly I'll have accomplished something. Lord, if they don't pay any attention to my actions and my efforts and whatever I would do, if I don't get a pat on the back for it, or if I don't get an attaboy, that'd be okay, Lord, as long as they recognize that you're doing something, Lord. Lord, may you get all the glory. May you get all the praise. May you get all the honor. Lord, for every feeble attempt that we have, Lord, help us to yield our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, help us to submit ourselves, Lord, to your will, to your plan for our life. Lord, maybe there's some right here tonight. You've been trying service after service, tape after tape, sermon after sermon. Maybe you've been trying to get their attention, Lord. Maybe you're trying to use them in some certain way. And Lord, they've dragged their feet and they've ran from it. Oh, Lord, help them to yield so that you can use them. May they be successful, Lord. Not just in their life, not just in their finances, but may they have a success for the kingdom of God. May you yield their talents and their gifts, all that they are. May you help them to yield it to you, Lord, so that you could use them to have an impact on somebody for the better. May each of us here tonight, Lord, I don't care how big my mansion is, Lord, just to have eternal life will be more than enough of a reward, Father, for any efforts that we would make. But Lord, may we not be so focused on how large our mansion is over there, but by how many stars that we have in our crown, Lord, for the kingdom of God. May we have a burden for lost souls to try to win others to you. Lord, everybody may not be a street preacher. Everybody may not be a missionary. But each and every one of us can live a consecrated life before the public out here where they can recognize something different, something genuine, something that they're lacking, that they have a desire for. Help us to yield ourselves as vessels to you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for even placing a desire in our heart to serve you in that way, Lord. Be with us, Father, we pray. Be with the continuation of the service. Lord, may it be pleasing to you, Father. May we just worship and praise you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, you love him tonight? You feel his presence here tonight? Just a sweet, sweet presence tonight. Let's sing it to him. Oh, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I dream. Lord, I'm Oh, if you want to lean more on him and not to your own understanding, if you want to yield to him, why don't you just reach out to him tonight? I'm learning to lean. Do whatever he's leading you to. If he leads you to kneel right there at your pew, you're welcome to. If he leads you to come to the altar, you're welcome to. If he leads you just to slip up your hand and worship him tonight, oh, we've got freedom in the Spirit here tonight. Whatever he says to you, do it. More power than I. Oh, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Have it tonight, you can have it.
And all that he asks is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to cover my soul, Lord, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. All my rest is complete, Lord, while I sit at your feet. Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Is complete, oh, while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, oh, sweep over my soul, oh, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit.
Desire. Stand together tonight if you'd like. Amen. Let's sing this. I believe this tonight. Oh, you deserve the glory and the honor. Yes, Lord. So we lift our hands to worship, oh, and to magnify. To magnify your name. receive it, yield to it.
Oh, there is no one else like you.
He deserves the glory tonight.
Oh, you deserve the glory.
Good to be in His presence, isn't it? Why don't we sing it again together tonight? What a wonderful thing to be in the presence. He's the dissolver of doubts. Of Jehovah. I sing a song, I sing a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, Lord, I lift up my hands, I lift up my hands. Tonight, let's just sing it to him. Singing,
I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Let's sing it that way again together. We're singing,
I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
That worship tonight. Why don't we sing it again like that? Oh, it just sounds beautiful. All the voices lifted together to the Lord. We're
singing. I love you, Lord. Singing. I love you, Lord.
Lift your hand to him and praise him for what he's done for you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, he loves the praises of his people. We worship you, Jehovah. We worship you, Lord. We thank you.
We pray.
I feel the pull. Oh, I hear his call, and I know his spirit's moving to give my all. Oh, he speaks. Is he speaking to your heart tonight? Oh, and his bride agrees. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. Oh, let's sing it to him tonight. Oh, I feel the pull. Spirits moving, hear my heart. Oh, he speaks to me. Oh, Lord, please come
and take.
Verses together.
At night I lay there, and I began to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why.
Speaks to me, Lord, please speak. softly. Brother Ben, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer? Amen. You can stay if you'd like after he dismisses us in worship, or if you've got to go, we understand, but it's good to be in his presence. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, we feel your pull tonight, Lord. Lord, it's the same pull that's brought us through together, Lord. It was the Holy Spirit, Lord, that's brought us through our lives, Lord. We thank you for what a strength you are, Lord. Lord, there's a world outside, Lord, that's searching. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we have the truth, not just something in our hearts, but Lord, something to take us through our life every day and every hour and minute, Lord. Lord, we can't thank you enough, Lord. We take for granted sometimes, Lord, but we're so unworthy, Lord, of your grace and love to us, Lord. Oh, God, just help us to keep pressing the battle, Lord, and to keep strengthening the courage. Lord, help us strengthen and encourage our brothers and sisters to keep pressing this battle, Lord. Just anoint everyone here tonight to draw, feel your pull more each day, Lord. And Lord, we'll soon be going to rapture, Lord. We ask you to be with everyone tonight. Any need that's here, Lord, just draw us closer to you. Just be with us to our next appointed time, Lord. Just dismiss us your love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, I feel the
great love to take his. Oh, he.